Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Small details or big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Coming up on this episode of White Wine Question Time.
It's one of my first loves, and maybe people don't know that about me. I've just had to put that dream in a box on a shelf for a long time. But now I've opened it up and I'm raring to go now. And do you know what? It's not only Brian and Arthur. There are actually, I say, lots of other pop star babies that are out there because I helped them along the way as well. I'm not going to say, do you know what? You helped me a lot when I was in the thick of it and I didn't know what time of day it was. I was contemplating my life choices, and I would message you and you'd send me a little, you know, a voice note, you know, giving me a pep talk and giving me strength.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine. And my guest today is back for more, having previously appeared on the show with his fellow bandmates, but today he's got a paintbrush in hand and he's flying solo, and I'm thrilled because he's got a brilliant story to tell. He first hit the charts 25 years ago as 1/5 of Steps, and away from the band has also carved out a hugely successful career in musical theatre, which he juggles alongside being a single parent of 7-year-old twin boys who he raises in his native Wales. Across his 25 years in the public eye, he's become a loud and proud role model within the LGBTQ+ community and an outspoken advocate for equality and acceptance, raising awareness around same-sex marriage, same-sex parenting, and adoption rights, plus campaigning for just, well, greater visibility and acceptance. Having started his career as a redcoat in Barry Island, Wales, he's gone on to sell over 22 million records, and last year celebrated yet another number one album and another seller arena tour with Steps, who are this year headlining the main stage at Pride. It'll be the only live show of the year. I can't wait to catch up with him, so let's dial him up, shall we? It's H. How are you, love?
Do you want to do my PR? That was great.
Yeah. I am your PR.
How did I fit all of that in?
I am your greatest fan.
Wow. That's kind of crazy when you list it off like that. How did that happen?
How did you go from the red coat in Barry Island? You did red and blue coats, didn't you? You did a bit of both.
I did, yeah. I like to dabble. Yeah, I still. But I,
to how many nights did you sell out at the O2 in Wembley last time? I can't remember. It was a lot.
Originally,
wasn't it?
When we did our first arena tour, we were the first band ever to do matinees. So we did 2 weeks at Wembley with matinees. That's crazy. How did that happen?
You did matinees.
Yeah, we did matinees. I know. But it was basically a panto, right? So
no, come on, it's not. It's an epic live show. And I mean, you're headlining Pride this year. That has to be an absolute date for your calendar. That's extraordinary.
There are, you know, incredible events over the summer that celebrate the LGBTQI plus calendar, but the jewel in that crown is Brighton Pride. And it's been one of the things on my bucket list for so, so long. And we were actually booked 2 years ago to do it. But then because of COVID, it all fell through. And nobody knows that, actually. We kept that really quiet and it all disappeared into thin air. And then we were like, oh, it's not going to happen. And then they had Christina last year, as you do. And then they came back and we were like, yes, we were going to have a complete hiatus, complete break. But then this came in and then we were like, it's a no-brainer. We're absolutely doing it.
Yeah. And yeah, Christina Aguilera did it last year. Steps and Songbook, that is your back catalogue, is going to... I mean, you guys will fly this year and you'll love it. I know you will.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's a bit of an eclectic mix. So they've got the Black Eyed Peas one night and Steps the next. So, I mean, they're ticking all boxes there.
Absolutely. But it's not the only Pride you're organising, is it? You're also taking charge of Pride in your own village.
Yeah. I live nearby a town called Cowbridge. It's near Cardiff, and it's a beautiful little market town. But there isn't much celebration regarding equality and diversity and representation. So I've wanted to do this for a long, long time. But last year, I took the bull or the cow by the horns. And we had our first Pride. And I just shook shit up a little bit. And
you really
it went
did.
Down an absolute storm. You know, it's a beautiful, sleepy little market town that I painted rainbow. I mean, we literally... So me and a couple of parent friends, we hired the town hall upstairs. I got my kids' cargo net. I went to an artificial flower shop and bought thousands of flowers. And we created this incredible art installation. So we had a cascade of rainbow flowers coming from the top of the town hall, kind of cascading onto the pavement. And we had a local artist, and he painted a rainbow brick road all outside the town hall. We covered the high street with 5-foot butterflies. We had posters in all the windows. And all in all, over the whole week, I arranged so many amazing events. We raised £20,000.
Wow.
And all of that has gone back into schools, colleges, comprehensive schools. We've had workshops from diversity and inclusion companies to train teachers for children who may be having a hard time, for parents who their children are maybe identifying in a different way. I could go on. The list is just incredible what we're doing. And we do it all again this year. So that's where I've been today.
I know that at one point there was a little bit of kickback from residents who protested outside the library when you booked a drag queen to do story time with the children. And your response, I thought, was remarkable. You were very weary on Instagram. Kind of, there was an air of eye rolling and you just went, here we go. Right, this is why we do it. This is the education piece. You could all do better. And just to drown you out, you went out and bought as many Pride flags as you possibly could, plus Pride bunting, and literally decorated the hell out of that library so that there was no denying that Pride was in town.
Totally. I mean, the drag queen is amazing and goes up and down the country doing drag queen story time in libraries and schools. Mm. And I've actually this year booked the drag queen in both of the schools, and the schools have given it the thumb up. So we're doing drag queen story time. It's basically panto in a library, panto in a school.
Yeah.
But it's just teaching everybody about being fabulous and representation and diversity and being proud of who you are, whatever that may be.
Yeah, whatever that looks like. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, listen, you talk about putting an art installation into the town hall or outside the town hall. Why don't we talk about the other thing that you've been quietly getting on with? Now, those that know you know that you are no stranger to a canvas and a paint palette, but now you've actually got your own exhibition. So, I mean, how many pieces are you showing and where is it? And by the way, they're not cheap, so clearly somebody thinks you're really, really good.
Oh my gosh. But Jen, I always had two loves in my life. I had art and performing. And when I left school, I was accepted to Cardiff Art College, and that was the route I was going to take. But I deferred for a year. I thought, right, I'm just going to just see a little bit of the world, because I hadn't really left my village in South Wales for 18 years. So I'm going to defer. And I became a Redcourt, and that kind of took me on that path. But I've always had this burning desire to get back to my first love. And I have had exhibitions in the past, but this one is kind of post-children. So it's my children are, you know, in a proper routine now. They can actually fold their pyjamas and make their breakfast a little bit in the morning now. So I've got a bit more free time. And I've been signed by numerous galleries, which is amazing. And I have my first exhibition this week, actually, on Friday. So it feels like I'm kind of bearing my soul a little bit, you know, just kind of putting a little bit of myself out there. But the reaction has been lovely.
And it's all Welsh landscapes, pretty much, not all of it. I mean, there's a piece with butterflies that's just beautiful, by the way. But predominantly, that's what you paint. And they're so peaceful, which, don't take this the wrong way, it's so not you.
Yeah, it's when you see my work, I guess that doesn't marry up with the persona that I have.
Yeah.
I'm spoiled for choice. You know, I live in a beautiful part of the world. You know, it's very diverse. There's waterfalls and lakes and mountains and sea. It's just awesome. Mm. And I draw inspiration from that. I do the school run, I go out with my sketchbook, and then I come back to my studio, paint my canvas, and then back on the school run. But it's great that I can do this around my boys, and that's always something that I wanted to do.
And it's like you can do when steps are taking a hiatus and you are kind of all catching your breath. And I would imagine that that's very cathartic, actually. There's great therapy in art, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always been creative in some way. You know, when we are doing steps, we are very much involved in the creative process of putting a show together, whether it be costumes, set. I remember one year, actually, so it was our first arena tour. The set wasn't ready. And we'd opened in Manchester Arena. We had a big walkway on this pyramid, and this walkway kind of opened out. And it was supposed to turn into this like beautiful kind of botanical garden, and it wasn't painted. So I remember just before the doors opened, I was there with my stencil and my spray paint painting the set.
Are you kidding? Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, but it is. It's so, for me, therapeutic. And like I said, it's one of my first loves. And maybe people don't know that about me, but it's still very much part of who I am. I've just had to put that dream in a box on a shelf for a long time. But now I've opened it up and I'm raring to go now.
Oh, well, congratulations, my friend. You never stop. You really don't. And it's so good to see you pushing yourself and realising all that potential.
Thank you. It's scary because I guess like any creative person, you put it out into the world and you're judged automatically. But art is subjective. Yeah. It's very personal. So some people are going to hate it. Some people are going to love it. So we'll see.
But also, I mean, there must be some comfort in the fact that it doesn't really matter, right? Somebody likes it enough to exhibit it. You've exhibited in the past and your art is sold. So the kind of, you know, not the pressure's off, but you can just do it for the pleasure.
Totally, yeah. I mean, it's kind of, it's scary, but it's also exciting knowing that something that you toiled over, that you, you know, you loved, is now hanging in someone's, you know, pride of place. That yeah. feels, you know, like I've really accomplished something as well. I feel really proud of that.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's up there with sort of sitting at the top of somebody's playlist, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah. Like a bucket list. Yeah. Lush. Yeah.
Now, speaking of which, I've put together three questions for you. And I wanted to dive in on the first one, if you're ready.
Oh, I forgot. Wait, we're actually doing a podcast. I thought we were just catching up.
Yeah. Well, we can do both. Here we go.
Okay.
I wanted to talk to you for my first question about paying it forward, because your route to becoming a parent came in some respects from an act of kindness via Elton John, which you then paid forward to Brian Dowling, who we had on the show last year, and he had this to say.
So we kind of put the family off. Mom passed away in 2018, and we said in 2018, we really have to look into this. And I reached out to our mutual friend, Ian H from Steps, and he advised us and recommended. Yes, he did, because he's gorgeous twin boys.
That in itself, just having that conversation must have been so valuable to you both.
Well, of course, because you're reaching out to someone you know and trust. So they're going to be honest and they're going to tell you your genuine experience.
So there we are, Brian Dowling explaining that were it not for you, he might not be the father of a beautiful child right now. And I guess the same could be said of you had Elton not extended that same kindness to you. So I wanted to know a little bit more about that, but also when else you've been on the receiving end of someone who's paying it forward.
Wow, that's a lovely, lovely question. Bless Brian. You know, he had bugged me for so, so long. He, like myself, always had that paternal urge, that longing to start a family. And I've known Arthur as well, is his partner for, he was one of our dancers, Arthur. Oh my gosh, I love Arthur.
Was he really?
Yeah. Oh gosh, Arthur, we go way, way back. And I'm so, so pleased for them. Do you know what? It's not only Brian and Arthur. There are actually, I say, lots of other pop star babies that are out there because I helped them along the way as well. I'm not going to say.
Yeah, no,
but
don't.
Yeah, but like huge, huge artists that now have children because of the process I went through. And I've, again, have kind of given them my little book.
Of context.
So I'd love you. Yeah, I guess Elton was the first high profile. And I'd read about Elton and David and their children and their process. And that inspired me to go along on my journey. And I just love that it's, again, like you say, paying it forward.
Because what you've given Brian and Arthur is, I mean, everything and
sleepless
more that
nights.
They could have ever wanted. You are, and a load of sleepless nights, yeah. But obviously, you know, I mean, he talked, when we had him on the show, the baby hadn't arrived yet. So he was still very much in that, you know, that the air of expectation, the dream of it all versus, I guess, the reality. But nevertheless, you know, you saved him a lot of heartache because he, like you, had tried the adoption process and found it to be incredibly homophobic. And the you know, you need support from the inside of that process in order to make it a success. What support were you given from Elton and David? Did they put you in touch with their agency, their surrogate?
You know
contacts?
What? Actually, there was no personal contact at all. It was all very much inspired by reading their story.
Ah.
So it wasn't anything personal. The actual doctor that we used was the same doctor that allowed us to have a family. But that was the only connection there. But I've since seen David and we chatted a lot about the children and, you know, how it happened. And yeah, just comparing notes is very, very strange.
I bet it is.
Knowing your children have come from the same place, it's weird.
And have you spoken to Brian since he's become a parent?
Of course, yeah. Oh my gosh, we text all the time, and yeah, and he always sends me gushing messages. Thank you, love you. Which is, you know, I've known Brian for, I think it's 23 years now. Yeah. 23 years, we presented SMTV together. So it was myself, Claire, Brian and Tess. So we were kind of roped in to take over from Ant and Dec when they left. Kat stayed on for CDUK, and then I would jump over now and again and present CDUK with Kat. But yeah, it was the four of us that kind of took over the reins. Oh my God, that was just the dream job. That was just iconic Saturday morning viewing. I mean, it was just the best hangover TV. I mean, we were all hungover usually anyway. We were probably performing in GAY the night before. There was no point going to bed. So, you know, we just rolled into the studio. And they literally had us hook, line and sinker because they knew we would do anything. They were like, stick that pink wig on with Dealey Boppers. Yeah. It was
go
just
over there
brilliant.
And do Wonky Donkey.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Brian's Brain, Wonky Donkey. Well, oh my gosh.
Brian's
the
Brain.
The dance.
Oh.
We've seen that, you know, I've not only is have you paid it forward in terms of helping countless other people become parents via surrogacy, even on your Radio Wales show, you do a slot where you play new music to pay it forward. You'll give unknown, unsigned acts airtime. But that is an extraordinary gift to an artist that's desperate to be heard.
Thank you. I know how hard it is to crack into the music business. Mm. And it's got even harder. I think the stats, you know, when you look at Spotify and new releases and new artists, it's something like 60,000 new songs a day.
A day.
It's insane, wow. The stats. So on my show on BBC Radio Wales, I have a segment where I play songs that may not be on people's playlists, but absolutely should be. And I literally go through my Spotify, I look at new Welsh artists, I look at artists that do it all without management, without PR teams, without record companies, and I shine the spotlight on them and kind of give them a bit of love and tell everybody to follow them and stream them. And the response has been awesome. And a lot of the artists have actually gone on to be played on Radio 2 and Radio 1 and do incredible road shows. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. I never thought about that. I mean, I just do it because it's something I never had when I was starting out.
Who was it that gave you the ultimate break, do you think? Who's the one that without their help, you would never be where you are today?
Oh, wow. I mean, very early on, I would say Pete Waterman has been very, very instrumental. I mean, you know Pete. And he's still a dear friend now. You know, I'll get, you know, a text off him. All right. Bless him.
I love Pete. His stories are legendary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, none of them are true, but...
They've all been Pete. Him and Louis Walsh tell the tallest stories, don't they? And they really don't like each other. And I think, well, there's so much that you have in common, like your tall stories.
There are. But Pete is just this iconic figure and always will be within pop music. You know, he shaped my childhood and most people's, probably yours as well. You know, I ended up performing with most of my bedroom wall. It was incredible, you know, because of Pete. And a lot of my bedroom wall are now in my phone. It's, you know, it's awesome.
That's an insane thought, isn't it? Because you're right. I know that you were a massive Stock Aitken and Waterman fan. And as a young guy growing up, trying to figure out who you were, his songbook meant a lot to you, didn't it? That was when you would shut your bedroom door and find out who you were, throw some shapes in front of the mirror.
Yeah, and well, also, more to the point, I knew who I was, but I wasn't brave enough to be that outside of my bedroom. So music was my safe space. My bedroom, you know, my Rick Astley records, my Sonia, my Kylie, my Jason Donovan, that was, you know, my safe space. That was, you know, the place I went to when I was being called names on the way home from school or, you know, or being beaten up. You know, all of these things that happened to me and everyone else in their life, you know, they shape you. And that's why I do what I do today, because I don't know how my children are identifying, but I want them to have something I never had, which is a safe space, which is why I'm an advocate for LGBTQI plus teenagers all over. You know, I want change, and I want change for good.
And that's why I applaud you for trying to put on pride in Cowbridge as opposed to just headlining in Brighton for the check, because that's about making it visible for your community so that however your boys identify, there's a place for them that's safe within their community. And you have to nurture that, you have to build it. And for those that don't know, that, you know, you have to be an educator. And and a lot of it is just ignorance, isn't it? Once people understand it and they stop fearing it.
Totally.
Especially in those kind of little crevices of the country, like Cowbridge.
Yeah, and they're beautiful little crevices, but, you know, they need shaking up. And pride is about celebration, but pride originally was a protest. And yeah. I'm all about education. So in all of the schools, in my local schools, I arranged for all of the emergency pride vehicles to come and visit, and they did diversity talks. They're now devising animations. So they are designing their own storyboards, their characters, they're voicing their characters, and they are putting on animations that can be shown anywhere in any language. And it's all about informing, creating safe spaces. And it's all originated in Cowbridge. I'm so, so proud of that.
Well, that's down to you, my friend. You're pretty ass-kickingly brilliant. I applaud you. Yeah. And your boys are so lucky to have a dad like you. They really are. How are they, by the way? Still ripping the house up?
Crazy. Yeah. I mean, after this, yeah, we've got school run and then we go to circus school. So they'll be hanging from a trapeze in about an hour.
As you do.
I love that.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I want to continue this conversation with my next question, if that's all right. Are you ready for question number two?
Yeah. I have no idea what these are, by the way. So, yeah.
No, I know. This is the fun of it, isn't it? What more could you want on a Monday afternoon? I wanted to talk about some of the trails that you've blazed, be it in your local village or turning the volume up online, using the platform that you've acquired via 25 years of Steps to educate, to challenge, and to contribute. So I wanted to run through some firsts that you've kind of achieved along the way. There's the obvious, the most recent, like having the opportunity to create the same sex couple for the first time on Dancing on Ice. That was really important to you, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, for me, fundamentally, as a person, you know, I wanted to be completely authentic. The way I present, especially because I'm a dad now, I wanted my children to see daddy living his best life. And it's something I had asked for so many years. you know, all of those contestant-based shows that, you know, you have interviews for, or I've done before. You know, I've always asked the question and I always had a no. But this time, I was in a very different headspace, a very different chapter of my life. And I said to myself and the producers, if you want me, great. It's literally the top of my bucket list. But these are my conditions. I would love for you to consider them. If you don't want to do that, okay, but I will bow out. And I was that sure of myself. And it was that important to me that I knew I didn't want to do opposite sex. And they came back and were completely 100% behind the idea. And then, of course, I got partnered with the amazing Matt Evers, who was completely on the same page as me. And we made history together. And, you know, since then, it's just mind-blowing to see the ripple effect that it's had.
I was going to say that, because actually now, it's like once that door opened, everybody started passing through. And it's the visibility is everywhere. But it did take somebody really to say, come on, guys, it's about time.
It took somebody, and it could have been anybody, but I guess all of the stars aligned. Yeah, and it was us that got to do it. And that's one of the things I am so, so proud. One of the most, you know, apart from my children, one of the most amazing things that's happened in my life.
I'd say another commonality between you and the lovely Brian Dowling is you both came out the day before you entered the Big Brother house. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You were 30 and about to enter the house. And Brian was working for, I think, Aer Lingus, and hadn't told his parents or his family that he was gay. So had to quickly kind of, you know, drop that news and then run into the house and then emerge. So the first time he saw them after he came out, he was the most famous gay man in Britain at that time.
But back then, those three letters, that one word was a very dirty word. You know, now it's a very different landscape. It's a lot easier to be your authentic self. But 20 years ago, you know, you were on the front of a tabloid for just, you know, for choosing who you love. It's a very different time, very different day and time.
And it was reported like you were confessing to something that it was a confessional. Like, why? Like, you know, and people outed. You know, your very good friend, who I'm slightly obsessed with, Gareth Thomas, was treated in the most appalling way. And I love the fact that your friendship with Gareth Thomas and your TikToks, by the way, are amongst some of my favourite things at Christmas.
Well, we did banter together, like, and we just got very bored. We were like, let's do TikTok. But I've known Gareth was like my next door neighbour for years. And he's since moved to the next village. So I have got rid of him a little bit. But he's still very much in my life. And I love him dearly. And I will always be there for him. You know, he's had a rocky ride. But he, you talk about trailblazers. He is iconic, you know, and especially what he is dealing with on a daily basis as well. You know, the awareness that he brings to HIV and AIDS, his Tackle HIV campaign, which I completely support. He is a trailblazer.
He made some, I had a little click around on that campaign, and you feature very heavily, right? You're a huge advocate. You're there for whatever he needs you to support him with. You're there. And what he was trying to land, and I really get his frustration, is why is it not more famous as a fact that these days you can live with HIV and it not be detectable in your system, and you can have sex with somebody and not pass it to them? Like, how amazing an achievement in science and medicine is that? Like, that's awesome. Why does everybody not know that fact? And I understand why he's frustrated.
Yeah, there's just been a storyline, hasn't there, on EastEnders, I believe, about HIV and AIDS. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't have time to watch TV, but I do. I think the storyline has really been positive for that fact. You know, U equals U, undetectable, U is untransmittable. And if you have HIV, you can literally take one tablet a day and live a very happy, normal life and not pass it on. It's incredible.
But I understand why he just thinks, well, why doesn't everybody know that? Why are there not billboards in the street? Why isn't it on the side of a bus?
Do you remember the HIV and AIDS adverts when we were children?
Oh my God,
do you remember those?
Scared the crap out of me.
I knew I was gay from a very young age. And those adverts scared the living daylights out of me. You know, the ones with the tombstone and the ones with the ice sperm.
Yeah, that's right.
But now it is absolutely not the death sentence that it was many, many years ago. You can live a happy, healthy life with one pill a day.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Great.
But equally, I don't think you'll know this, but he was asked, Gareth. So for anybody who doesn't know who Gareth Thomas is, he's an incredible rugby player, an incredible athlete who was married to a woman for a very long time before he was able to come out and be his authentic self. And then contracted HIV and has been nothing but a positive voice for the LGBTQ plus community. Right? So he's a pretty awesome guy. When he was asked who his gay role model was, who do you think he said?
Elton, maybe? Peter Tatchell?
No. No, good guess, good guess.
Gareth is a really bad gay. He doesn't know many gays, even though he's the biggest gay of all. When I'm with Gareth, he loves steps. So there's a telltale sign there. When I'm with Gareth,
does that make him a bad gay?
No, that just tells me everything. If you're a steps fan, you. Odds are you're gay.
I'm a step fan.
I'm with Gareth, and he gets literally texts off Harry, and he's like, "Oh, at age, I'm just going to say this from age." Like what?
As in Prince Harry.
Prince Harry. Yeah. So and like I'll call him in the middle of a field. He goes, "I've got to go. Harry's on the line." I'm like, "All right, bye." Literally, Harry's.
From H to H.
Yeah. Oh, so do you know, it's when the documentary came out. I was making memes of that.
You were brilliant. It was brilliant. You explain the memes for the listener because they were fantastic.
What? Throughout the Harry and Meghan series, Meghan kept referring to Harry as H.
Yeah.
And there's only one H, right? The OG. I just took it upon myself to laugh a little and indulge a little. Hilarious.
So you still haven't correctly identified who Gareth chose as his kind of gay role model, the person that he looked up to that gave him hope, and that person is you.
Me?
Yeah.
Why me?
Because he said you were local, Welsh. It felt within reach, and you then came out at 30, and you know you didn't fall off the edge of the planet, and your life continued. I mean, maybe you should pick that conversation up with him, but it was he said, and he said people will expect me to say, you know, and listed the people that you've just listed, but no, he said for me it's Atrium Steps.
How lovely. Oh, the big old softy. I mean, he gives the impression.
You're going to call him something else then, weren't you?
I've called him many things. But I'll often get a little text of him saying, "Love you, bud. Thank you for always being there." And I'm like, "Yeah, of course." But yeah, he's a one in a million guy. He's amazing. But how lovely to say that. Bless him.
That's really nice. One of my favourite of your many TikToks. And I wish you'd made more. I'd watch you two do a travelogue all day long. Explain to me sausage party.
Oh, God. I better come in many things. this is a 2 p.m. in the afternoon. We can't do that.
It's you and and Gareth with a packet of Frankfurters, just throwing them at each other, seeing who can catch them in their mouth. That's how bored you get doing panto on a matinee day.
Uh-huh. Well, every day's a matinee day. Today, it's a bit like, I mean, I got an amazing role. So I was man in the mirror this year in Snow White, which if you watch the movie, is blinking, you'll miss that part. But I basically...
But they built you out, didn't they?
Yeah, so I flew over the audience in this huge kind of bougie mirror. At end of act one, I got to fly over the audience on this motorbike. It was just incredible. And the reason I said yes to panto this year is because of my kids. You know, they're at the age now where everything is magical and they get to see daddy do his thing and actually remember it. And it was on my doorstep in Cardiff. So, you know, it was a no-brainer. It was hard.
And you got to perform with Gareth Thomas
every morning
again.
And then go to the theatre it was a long slog, but I loved it and my kids loved it as well.
The TikToks, some of my favourite. You were wearing the man in the mirror costume as you danced under the caption. This is one of my favourites. The homo spirits leaving my body after user at 9076-1881 tells me to pray the gay away. I love how you answer hate.
I mean, cut off. The comments you get on social media, I used to just ignore, but now I just shine a light on them and just show whatever dick they are.
Yeah. I loved your response to Kerry, who Kerry wrote, she DM'd you, your poor baby, she didn't spell it very well, but this is what I think she was trying to say. Your poor baby's having two dads. It's disgusting. You wrote, this is the kind of bigotry that still exists today. I get these messages on a daily basis here on social media. Times have changed, but we have a long way to go. Educating homophobes like Kerry. Kerry, if you could only see the life and love my children have, maybe you never had that, which explains a lot. I'm genuinely sending you love and urging you to educate yourself and do better. Oh. That's how you do it, babe.
Rise above. Always rise above. And my children, if you could, I mean, you've met my kids. They are incredible humans. You know, they are full of love and they're accepting and they're kind. They're also drive me mad, but they are turning into beautiful little humans. I'm so proud of them.
And you have, I mean, literally, you have, I don't want people to think that there's like a fleet of staff running around doing this all for you. You have no childcare. You have family nearby who help out as and when they can. But fundamentally, from the age of one, you've raised them single-handedly, and that's
from
all
day
the night
one,
feeds.
Day one, wow.
Well, day one, yeah. Well, yeah, day one. You were on your own in America when the babies were born, weren't you?
Yep.
And they were handed to you, and that was that.
Do you know what? You helped me a lot when
I
was in the thick of it and I didn't know what time of day it was. I was contemplating my life choices, and I would message you and you'd send me a little, you know, a voice note, you know, giving me a pep talk and giving me strength. So you were very instrumental in, you know, my children's lives very, very early on when I thought I just
know how scary it feels, especially when they're so young and so tiny, to be stepping into that journey of parenting on your own, right? It's frightening. And I think I always wanted to have somebody like me in my ear. So I always figured that, you know, if my friends came up against that, I would pay it forward. So Mylene was the first person that I did that with, and I called her up and I was just
again, Mylene has been one of my rocks as well.
These are the fears that you're going to come up against, and let me tell you that, you know, you don't need to worry about it. Like, actually, it's once you get your head into it, it's the most joyous experience to raise a child. And if you have to do it on your own, better to do it alone happy than miserable with somebody else, right? And I think for the children, it gives a better home environment.
That is an amazing example of paying it forward. You paid it forward to Mylene, and actually Mylene paid it forward to me as well. So like you did to me, she was there in my ear going, you can do this. Come on, just super dad. And I'd be like, she'd send me packages. you know, to cheer me up and for the boys. Wow, what an amazing girl she is.
She really is. I mean, I remember there was the night of her 40th, me, you and her on a dance floor somewhere in the Cotswolds, kind of swapping war stories, but with great pride, actually. And you do get through it, and it is really hard, but it is the most rewarding thing ever. And sometimes the most rewarding things in life are the hardest things in life, and that's okay. And, you know, you just need... I knew you were right in the thick of it, deprived of sleep, in a beautiful house in Wales, but very alone. And I just wanted you to know that you weren't.
I wasn't, but thank you. Thank you to you, I wasn't. Wow, that just feels like a blur now. It's, you know, isn't it?
I know.
And I learned a lot from that experience, that everything is temporary, even though you feel like there's no way out and it's never going to end. You know, tomorrow is a new day and you will feel differently. You know, this is just temporary, this feeling. You know, there's always day. There will always be days like this, but you will get out of it. And I learned a lot from that.
Yeah, and everything is temporary. Everything's a phase. Effectively, you are still a firefighter. You're just putting out different fires. And you become a bit like, oh, that fire. Because you become more confident in your ability to extinguish.
Yeah, or just a muzzle would be great.
Yeah, but also, you know, you probably still have these nights now. Ben's that much older. But those days when you'd be so exhausted, you'd think, I actually can't get up and walk to bed. But you were so full of love.
I am super proud. I mean, there are sometimes on a daily basis, I question, I could have done that better. Or I really, I had a temper there, or I raised my voice there. But do you know what? I have to look at it for a week, you know, and maybe once I'll raise my voice in a week. But they are turning into amazing little people. They really are. I'm really proud.
But also, isn't it wonderful that you can be visible to so many other parents who want to follow the path that you've taken to parenting? And you'll probably never know what it means to other people to just have the visibility of, you know, a man raising two boys on his own, a gay dad. I think that is an extraordinary act of trailblazing and paying it forward. You're probably helping in ways you'll never, ever truly appreciate. Well done.
Oh, shucks. I've never thought of it that way. I mean, I'm just surviving on a daily basis, but thank you.
As long as there's an off license nearby, you'll be fine.
Soft drinks today?
I know. Circus school, you can't turn up pissed to circus school. Okay, question number three. If you had to make a medicine cabinet of songs, like a first aid kit of musical meds, with each song providing a remedy to soothe and heal, which songs would you go to and what for? So let's start with something for the head, a song to make you think.
Song to make me think.
An anthem, something that really says something to you.
To make me think, I mean, you can think in different ways. I love, oh my God, and it's just the most iconic song that, and it's very deep and it kind of questions everything about you, your being, where you've been, where you're going. A song by Joni Mitchell called Both Sides Now.
Oh, beautiful choice.
I often listen to that album in the car if I'm traveling home from my show on a Friday, and that speaks to me so much. You know, you think of the life choices you've made over the years, what effect that will have on your future. You know, the things you could have done differently, the things you should have done differently, and those lyrics just really hit a chord for me.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I love that. Okay,
maybe so not the answer you were expecting. I mean, I don't know.
No, I love it. The only other person I've ever asked this question of is Gary Barlow. And I loved his responses and I loved how he Rolodexed through his, you know, jukebox in his mind. And I thought, oh, this is a good one for you. So we've got something to make you think. What about something to heal a hurting heart?
Oh, wow. Heal hurting heart. I mean, I've had a lot of heartache over the years. Oh, there was an album. It was my go-to album. And it's probably a lesser-known album. So it's not the obvious kind of big ballads that, you know, you belt out on karaoke. But there was a guy from a boy band. The boy band was called 98 Degrees.
I remember them. They were American.
Yeah. So the lead singer was called Nick Lachey.
Yes, he married Jessica Simpson.
That's right, yeah. But his first solo album, What's Left of Me, was just incredible.
Was it?
So go and listen to this album. If you're having a really shitty time and want to wallow in that, play this album. It's all about being hurt, getting hurt. But the title track, What's Left of Me, is just amazing. Have a little listen. After this podcast, have a little listen to that.
Thanks. I don't know that one. That's I like a curveball.
There's another one called I Can't Hate You Anymore. Oh, just amazing. But it literally, I think the album was written after
that.
His breakup with Jessica Simpson, but it's the perfect album to get angry with and cry into a glass of wine with.
I Can't Hate You Anymore. Talk about, I mean, the anti-love song. Love it. What about, again, something for the heart, but something that's utterly uplifting, that, you know, that song that is anthemic to you because it's all about the joy that it brings in those moments of great celebration?
I mean, I've got many, many songs, but there's one song, and it just reminds me of my children. And it reminds me of when they couldn't walk just yet, but they were holding onto the side of the armchair. And whenever I put this song on, they would do the baby bop, the dance.
Yeah.
And it's Celine Dion, I'm Alive. And as soon as it starts, and I can see Max just holding onto it and his head, beaming smile, and it just reminds me of that, and that just that, you know, that pure innocent giggle, that children's laughter, which is just pure joy. And whenever I hear that song, it takes me to that place.
And that's such a lovely feeling, isn't it? It's about capturing a moment of just undiluted happiness, and those moments can often be just that. Yeah. As you say that, I can think now, I'm thinking back to Ben in his car seat dancing away to Led Zeppelin, A Whole Lot of Love, which for some reason was his tune for a moment. Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
And now they just want to sing songs about farts. Alexa, play me a fart.
Do you know what's really weird, though, is I don't know if you noticed this with your boys, but the music that they were exposed to. Like, so I did the Strictly tour when I was pregnant, and every song in the set list, Ben responded to as a baby. Which included Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf. Which is just an odd one. As some sort of weird Latin song.
That's an eclectic
for a cha-cha. And The Killers. What's that? The Killers one? Somebody Told Me. And it was really weird. Like, suddenly, because I was doing 8 shows a week, it was just piped into the womb. So he just had this kind of, you know...
They're such cool songs, though. I mean, you could have had S Club and Steps, right?
Nothing wrong with those, babe.
Hey, I agree. After 25 years, we're doing something okay.
You got to. What about something for the feet? What's the one song that you can't sit still to?
Oh, wow. Okay, it's the band that were my absolute idols when I was a kid. And it's incredible that they're now in my phone.
Are they? I love it. I mean,
there
happens,
are many, many
you?
Bands that we've worked with and I now class as friends. You know, take that, one of them. You know, Gary is amazing. And I did a lot of songwriting with Gary and stayed at his house a long time ago. But now, the song, it just comes on. And you'll know them. A band called Five Star.
Oh, yes! Delroy. Stedman.
Yes, there you go. Doris, yeah. Denise.
And what was the other one? Lorraine.
Yeah. So can't wait another minute. Slightest Touch, Rain or Shine. I'd
System
say
Addict.
The song. Yeah, System Addict. And we paid homage to our love of Five Star. We recorded and released Slightest Touch because they are our ultimate. So on the last tour, we got to perform Slightest Touch. I think it was
amazing.
Like a full circle moment. Literally like texting Doris and Denise, okay, we're doing this.
See, Five Star, when we were growing up, they were billed as like the British answer to the Jacksons. Mm-hmm. They were a family, they were siblings from, was it Birmingham?
No, it was like East London, wasn't it?
Was it?
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, and they were everywhere and they had great outfits and dance routines and there was a lot of sequins and then they all fell out or something. Okay, your final song choice. Well, actually, there's two more I'd like to get from you. What's the song that makes you cry?
Oh, wow. I tend not to go then.
Do you not?
Yeah.
Even a happy tear?
Trying to think. Oh, there's... it's beautiful, this film. Quite a recent film. So from the... It's cheesy, but I love it. Did The Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
And it's a song. We used to sing songs just before the boys went to bed. It's just, you know, before I turned lights out. And one of them, because I was doing it on my own, was Someone to Care For, To Be There For, I Had You Too, from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So that was one of them.
Oh.
And the other was A Million Dreams from Greatest Showman. And we would all sing that together. And that was just me giving them positive affirmations and telling them that I love them every night. And, you know, saying whatever you want, you can be. Whatever you can dream, you can be. So that was our little...
Maybe your family anthem.
Yeah, that was our song every night. A Million Dreams always sets me off a little.
That's lovely. And you'll have that forever. That song will always mean that to you. Because those are magical moments. They really are.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Beautiful. And I think back at that time and I look at them now and all they want is fart songs from Alexa. Oh, it was
Wait until you start
elastic.
Getting eye-rolled because you don't know the latest grime artist. That's fun.
I don't even know what that is.
You will. Yeah, I hear you. And my final song choice I want from you is, what do you turn to for a peaceful mind? What's the song that you go to seek solace?
Oh, peaceful mind. My sweet spot, my genre of music, I love 80s inspired synth music, you know.
Like a bit of Yazoo or Depeche Mode.
Yeah, but that's the classic sound. But I love new artists now that just hit that sweet spot for me. And there is, go and check this artist out. She's amazing. She's called Dani Sylvia. And I play her a lot on my show. She's one of the artists that I think should be huge. And she just needs, you know, the right people behind her.
And she writes songs from this incredibly personal place. You know, you can tell she's just kind of ripped her heart out and just put it into a song. Amazing, amazing songs. There's one called Sundays. And listen to the lyrics to that song. It's one of those songs that really just hits you emotionally. So that song for me.
That's nice. And we're giving a shout out to Danny Sylvia, who hopefully, if you are listening, is very thrilled to be getting the nod from the great
age. She's gorgeous. I tried to help her along the... Oh, do you know what? I've every one of my contacts, I've tried my best to, you know, just put her out there.
All I want to know is, how can people access your artwork? Because we all know where to download a song from, but how can they see your paintings, and what's the best way for them to go about that?
Oh, bless you. If you would like to check out my art page, Ian H. Watkins Art, or I'm represented by a few galleries, Adamo Gallery in Cardiff are stocking my work. Have a little look, have a little peruse. Let me know what you think.
If you just put in Ian H. Watkins, it's not just H, it's Ian H. Watkins.
Mm-hmm. Not H from Steps, even though that will always be my surname. From will be my middle name.
It will always be your surname. Do you know what I had to do as well? You don't hate me for this, but I just put you in my phone as H. And then when I search for you in WhatsApp, it never comes up. So then I've had to revert and put fucking H from Steps in.
Are you in my phone as Pisshead?
Because just H on its own doesn't work. I know. And then I just thought, well, I can't call him H from Steps. He's my friend. I'm going to put you in his Ian. But then it sounds like I'm telling you off. Ian?
I love you having this internal dialogue right now.
I know. Hey, babe, perimenopause, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much. Give those boys the biggest squeeze from me. And good luck with running off to the circus for the afternoon.
Mwah. Lots of love to you. Speak to you soon.
My huge thanks to H, who never ceases to impress and entertain. And if you'd like more conversations with other music legends, then we have episodes with Danny Minogue, The Rest of Steps, Gary Barlow, All Saints, Charlene Spiteri, Travis Louise, and Skin from Skunk Anansie in our back catalogue. And good news, we've started dropping an extra mini episode every week now on a Tuesday. It's called Something from the Cellar, and it brings up from our cellar some of the very best bits from some of our very best guests over the last 4 years. To make sure it lands on your feed, just follow or subscribe to the show if you don't already. And I'll be back Friday with a brand new guest. Until then, thanks for listening.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.